Hey guys, this is Cole Weicker.
Hi, I'm Neil Collins.
This is Jochen Graf.
And you're listening to the Unused Substitutes.
The Unused Substitutes.
The Unused Substitutes.
Hey there, little Red Riding Hood, I got a problem that is complicated. Got a few tanks that I just can't ignore the signs. Hear them now, it's so loud it hurts. Hear me, fella, hear me, how it
is. There's one final touch to be had. Eric Ian. Lasso.
Evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us tonight. You are listening to the Unused Substitute Show. We are your green and gold gospel, your best source for year-round Rowdies coverage, coming at you live on Radio St. Pete Online and presented by Taco Bus. My name is Stephen Cundiff. Joining me tonight is going to eventually be a whole crew. At the moment, however, it's just Daniel Andonino.
Hello.
Dan, there are things to be announced tonight, I think.
Yes.
There are topics we're going to be discussing. It's actually not a pleasant episode.
No,
because
not at all.
Because the Rowdies didn't help us out at all this weekend. I mean,
we can talk Seba, like, and the excitement of that. But other than that, I mean, there's excitement. It's legacy. It's going to be legacy night. We're going to see some original Rowdies, a good portion of the 2012 team. They're signing autographs pregame on next Friday. But like, that's still a week and a half away, or a week and 9 days away, something like that. There's exciting things on the horizon, but maybe, not too great of things in the immediate term.
Yeah, there's definitely, I don't know, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be
a roller coaster of an episode.
This is true. Actually, I don't even know if it's going to be a roller coaster. I think it's just going to be like down.
Probably.
I think it's just going to be down. It's a bit of a downer tonight.
Yeah, I can't argue that at all. It's going to be a rough one.
Everybody's like, what the hell's going on? You're going to find out because it's definitely news.
Yeah.
All right, so tonight, despite the fact that it's a downer of an episode, or will be, we are still supported, of course, by all of you guys listening, and most importantly, by our patrons. And tonight, the Patreon executive producer is Kevin Vicario. And so, Kevin, you've been a longtime member of the show, a supporter of the show. We thank you, as always, for that dedicated support that you have shown us and the love that you have shown us over the years. I can't wait to see you and your wife one day again. All right. Well, if you want to tweet us your thoughts during the show or during the week, kind of have some banter with us, you know, all that kind of fun stuff. At Unused Subs Pod is the mothership location to go ahead and get that done. All of us are on it. We can all respond if need be. It's great. It's good times. What wasn't good times was the Tampa Bay Rowdy soccer game this weekend.
No. No, it was not. I missed the Rowdies goal. So I didn't even get to enjoy the fun. Everything was just sad.
Yeah. All right. All right. We're going to dive into this. Let's dive in. Let's dive in. So the Rowdies start off pretty strong. They certainly started off pretty strong. Credited in the third minute of the game. Which is funny because it doesn't feel like it was the third minute. Like, I remember watching that game live and it felt like it was like the 15th minute of the game. But because so much happened right off the bat. The game was very open from the very start. Charleston definitely did not hold back at all coming against the Rowdies. They definitely played up to the competition as it was this time around. But the Rowdies did break through first. And Connor Antley had an absolutely immaculate cross from the right-hand side of the field. And he finds Seba Guinzotti. And Seba finishes off a goal and finally is able to get on a score sheet for the first time since what, like April, it feels like. And the Rowdies go up 1-0 super, super early. And everyone's looking around going, whew, all right, Charleston's terrible. This game's in the bag. Yeah, except that it wasn't. 21st minute of the game, Andrew Booth for Charleston finishes a play, ties it up. It's very frustrating. And the Rowdies, it feels like, never really get into the game at that point. As the game is tied 1-1, we weren't able to hit a stride. Now, officially, again, we come out as a 3-4-3, but very similarly to how the Rowdies play, it's kind of a weirdish formation, if you want to call it that, because like Aaron Guillen, of course, pushes up the field quite a bit to the point where it's, again, it's kind of like a 4-back, and offensively, it's almost like a 2-back. And Charleston found ways to attack it. They found ways to attack it. They were very aggressive. And, you know, maybe Connor just unlocked something with the formation, the way that it was built. He found a way to attack Neil's system. And, you know, I mean, that kind of thing happens. They end up winning the game 2-1 after a second goal from Andrew Booth in the 67th minute. Guys, and Matt, you've joined us now on the show. Hi, how are you doing?
Yeah. Much yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was sitting in the movie theater with my daughter Saturday night. Checked my phone real quick. We went to see the extended remix, whatever they're calling it, of Spider-Man with the 11 extra minutes. And checked my phone and, yeah, saw Seba score. And I was like, all right, that's good. I'm feeling pretty good. And I think I checked it like an hour later and I was like, oh, not so good now. Yeah, I still haven't actually gone back to watch the entire game outside of Seba's goal, but don't want to lose track of that. Like, very happy. Like, I loved watching the replays, and you know, heads the ball home, and then I like literally first is like glancing around to see, is there a flag? Is there a whistle? Is there something? Like, is this one getting called back to? They're gonna manufacture another fake news own goal to take it away from him. But no, this one stands, and for now, he stands next to Georgi Ristov. Hopefully, it will not be too much longer before he stands alone at the top of that record, because it's been coming.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe I just won't ever go back and watch the rest of that outside of that goal, because feels like that was, you know, like they put the highlights out. I'm like, you could just stop after the one goal. We can just don't have to watch the rest of this.
That's true.
It's a tough match for the Rowdies. Okay. I mean, I think part of the game that hurt a little bit was like Etu was not very involved in this match. Yeah.
It felt to me, and it granted this was Saturday, it's Wednesday, but it feels like my whole life has happened in between there, so my memory might be a little shaky. But it definitely felt to me that it was a weird Rowdies game where the midfield was almost non-existent. It felt like Charleston was able to cut through us pretty quickly and decisively. But it was uncharacteristic, because usually that's the one part of the field we control best. And like you said, with Junior Etu not being involved too much, it allowed Charleston in that to just glide through the midfield on us. And with the way the system works with so many people forward, it can happen. They played our system perfectly and it showed. But it felt very weird to me. Like, it just didn't feel like a Neil Collins Rowdies team in performance wise. And these games happen. I'm not worried about it. But it felt different.
So you're saying it's kind of like we know Legacy Night is coming up, next week? End of next week?
Mm-hmm. Next Friday.
But the Rowdies saw a team in black and yellow in a particular field, and they had a throwback night to Pittsburgh in the Open Cup.
Oof.
I mean, okay, so we have not there are times we have not historically done very well against Charleston. Like, there are years we absolutely dominate them, and then there are years where it's completely the opposite. So, and I mean, in all fairness, like, Charleston's, they for some weird hex, they have our number sometimes.
But also, in all fairness, Charleston has usually been a fairly good team, and they're objectively awful this year.
Yeah, true.
That's what makes this one really weird, I think.
So there's definitely a few comments to make on this game. I mean, so you have Scarlett and Castellanos back there, you know, majority of the time. Booth's goals both come like on Scarlett's half of the equation, but like they don't really support each other very well on some of those breaks. Wyke and Guillen are both pushed up so far that a lot of those counters, they just were not. I don't know. It was a weird game in the sense that I think part of why this match didn't work well is like Wyke and Guillen, I think, didn't play very good games. Etu didn't play a very good game. Antley got an assist, but other than that, he was pretty quiet most of the match. And I think that's just the problem. It was an off night for the guys that are very important for us in possession. Those guys were just not on their best match. And you see that because Charleston's overall possession numbers, they outpossessed us during the match. That has not happened very often this year. You know, like Louisville's one of the few teams that were able to actually take control of a game against the Rowdies this year. It's weird to give up like a possession number against a team at the bottom of the table.
Yep. It was just weird overall. Like I said, weird vibes.
Yeah, it was definitely just a funky game. You know, the Rowdies end up with, what was it, 9 shots. We're outshot 12-9. We only have 4 on target, which isn't a terrible number. But it just, I mean, what, the XG for the game was less than 1, I believe. If memory serves, I think it was less than 1. It just didn't feel very threatening. In the course of the match, you know, outside of that third minute, like, you know, I don't want to call it a wonder goal, but that third minute, like, great, you know, break down the line and the cross in, and it just feels good. And it's just, we just didn't, it didn't feel like a second goal was coming at times. Up until Charleston scored, there were moments where it looked like we were going to get a second. And then after Charleston scored, it just, the bottom fell out on the offense, was the impression that I had for that match.
I could second that. I definitely agree for once with you, and that feels weird.
Jeez. I don't know. It was a funky game. You know, Charleston's players definitely played up on the night. I don't think there's really any questioning that. Like, their passing was, like, really, really on point for most of the match. You know, Kwakwa, playing as a center mid, did not miss a pass all night. He finished the game 38 for 38.
Just one of those nights we were completely off and they were completely on.
Yeah.
Like, it's been a weird year, and we're going to get weirder here in a little bit, but it's just a weird, weird year for the Rowdies.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny because I don't know. Okay, so we've seen this lineup before, you know, where Guillen is essentially playing as an outside mid rather than somebody like a Dalgard when we're playing against teams that we perceive as bad, you know, as teams that we're better than. And it's funny because, like, you can see, I mean, let's take into consideration that, okay, Charleston played a game above their means. You know, they played above their skill level. They just had an on night and everything was clicking for once for Connor Casey's team. You can see why this formation and this particular setup doesn't work against better teams. You know, Guillen is not a midfielder. I mean, he can play it against bad teams, but he's not a midfielder that's going to score goals and produce stuff against a Louisville or a Memphis or a Pittsburgh, for example. But against a team like Las Vegas, sure, why not? That's not a problem. Against a Tulsa, sure, why not? But, like, if you're playing a Charleston team that's playing as good as a Pittsburgh on any given week, well, then you start to see where that breaks down, and that's kind of what happened this game. You know, Lakava's had some struggles lately as far as, and I don't know, it's funny, because I don't know where his particular struggles have come from. I mean, obviously, everybody against Las Vegas played great, but Lakava's been in a bit of a funk lately, going back, like, maybe a month and a half overall, and it just... You wonder if part of it's just, like, he's not able to coordinate with the other guys as much. Like, it's almost like because he's had such a scoring drought, he has a tendency of holding on to the ball too long or trying to do it all himself to try and get him back on that scoring sheet, which, as a striker, I understand the mentality. But I'm wondering if that's where some of his game gets hurt, you know, overall, and I wonder if that's where some of his productivity has dipped. And you start to see where maybe that cascades into other positions. Like, we haven't seen much from Dos Santos or Kyle Gregg in open play as a center forward. That's one of the reasons why Guinzotti's been getting more minutes, is we're trying to inspire some of this, but Lakava's still stuck with this game plan that he's had issues with, where they're not coordinating as well with each other. Now, again, the bottom fell out against Las Vegas, so, you know, we're saying all of this in context of the fact that we just dropped 6 the week before, right? But, you know, it's lately that's been more the exception than the rule when it comes to Rowdy's goal scoring, it feels like. So, I don't know. It's, you know, full credit to Charleston, but I don't know. You just wonder if a team like Louisville's going to watch a game like this and go, all right, we kind of know what it takes. You know, a Memphis. All right, we know what it takes, really, to get after this team. And, you know, we're down to what? Six games? Right? It's like six games before the playoffs. You know, this is not a good time to get exposed if this is a trend that's about to start.
Right.
I mean, like you said, though, this was a system and formation and everything that is used to get, that's deployed against the weaker teams, I think, as a way to see what we can do and what can't be done. And I think after that game in Charleston, Neil's either going to shelve that project or figure out. The one thing you can say about Neil is he is a pretty quick study with this stuff. Like, and he doesn't tolerate, you know, like losses like that one. Some losses happen, you know, just in, you know, like Louisville, you can say is just a loss. They controlled the game. They deserve that one. But like a loss like this, Neil doesn't take lightly. And, you know, either, like I said, he's going to shelve that formation, that tactic, and then shift back to Dalgard and Antley on the wings and that more dominant thing that for like style that we have seen this year. Because you don't even like we're in the playoffs, but and we're. I haven't looked at the standings for point differences, but I'm pretty sure we're pretty locked in for a home. Well, I don't want to say that because actually we're only in third place. And so we're still fighting for that home playoff spot. And you never want to back into the playoffs. That never bodes well for a run. Neil and most of this team knows that they've been here. They've done this. So I think that correction will be self-made and it'll be fine.
Yeah, looking at the current standings, Louisville's in first with 60. Memphis is 1 point ahead of us at 55. We are 1 point ahead of Pittsburgh with 53, but we have two games in hand. Birmingham at 52, we're also two games in hand on them. And then Miami and Detroit at 47 and 46, and we have a game in hand on Miami and level with Detroit.
When did these games, like... Oh, this schedule is so stupid.
Hold on. That's because Birmingham and Pittsburgh are playing tonight.
Yeah, that's true. But and we have a Wednesday game, what, next week?
Yeah, so that's why if you're looking at a table live right now, it says 30 games for Pittsburgh and Birmingham. I think that's where the extra quote-unquote game is coming from. Okay. It's just because they happen to be playing each other. But, I mean, look, I've said, what was it? My prediction was fourth place when we were looking at the schedule in, like, May, right? Like, May or June. I've said fourth the whole time. I mean, we would, depending on how that Pitt-Birmingham game plays tonight, we might be in fourth going into the weekend.
I still think we finish second.
Yeah, I mean, okay, so, like, there's 3 points that currently separate second through fifth, right? At this point, the whole thing is a toss-up.
That's true.
I mean, it's legitimately a toss-up because it doesn't take much to slip with six games left. You know, two losses in those six probably puts us in... Actually, two losses in six might end up putting us in fifth depending on how the rest of the stuff goes. So, you know, that's how tight the margin might be going down the stretch here.
Yeah, I mean, looking at just this Pittsburgh-Birmingham game tonight, it's 0-0 in the 27th, and we would like that, not necessarily maybe the scoreline, but that result. A draw from that is what we want, because if Pittsburgh ends up getting a win, they would go level on points with Memphis. Birmingham gets a win, they would go level on points with us, and I don't have all the tiebreakers worked out in my head whether we would still be third or if we'd slip down to fourth in that situation. So, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is, that second through fifth seeding is going to be, that's going to be an adventure for the, you know, if you are a USL fan and an Eastern Conference fan, my goodness, this, it's going to be a weird end of year.
Yep. Yes, it will.
Yes, it will.
I mean, at least we know pretty well that, like, Miami's basically out of the race for a fourth seed. You know, they're currently, you know, 6 points back. There's only, they've only got 5 games left on their season.
Mm-hmm.
That's tough. I mean, that's going to be tough no matter what. And that gap may grow depending on how tonight's result goes. You know, I think they're pretty much guaranteed to be on the road first round. Detroit is clearly going to be on the road first round. So that's pretty much locked up. Louisville's in first. I mean, I don't see that changing. They've got a 5-point gap.
Right.
I mean, granted, Memphis has a game in hand, but I still think Louisville, it's, I've said, I think for a long time, I think my prediction in May was Louisville, it was theirs to lose based on how everything was shaping out. I think that was my, even when Memphis was in first, or flirting with first place, because when they were bouncing back and forth because of games played numbers, I think I was still saying Louisville, it was Louisville's number one seed to lose.
Well, so we've got, just taking a look at it, because Louisville, I mean, they've only won one in their last five. They lost two, won one, and have drawn their last two. And then looking at the games they have left, I mean, they host Loudoun, so there's 3 points.
Yeah.
They host Memphis. That'll be interesting. Mm-hmm. They travel to RGV, which travel might have an effect on there. They host Detroit, so that's going to be a big one. And then they host the newly named Sons of Tab Ramos in Hartford to close out the season.
That's a lot of W's.
I mean, Memphis and Detroit are going to be tough ones, but they get those at home. Hartford, you know, when they likely will have had the first spot locked up by that point, by final game of the season. And they're going to have a week off anyway. Maybe they rest some guys. Maybe they play some kids in that one. Because what's the point?
Well, the point,
I don't know if it has much of an effect on us. They'd have to lose almost all these games for anyone to have a chance to sneak in first. And I don't see that happening.
Yeah. And I think that's where my thing is too. And speaking to that, like Louisville in that match, they're going to go for it because nobody wants to take 2 weeks off going into their first playoff match.
Almost like they learned from the Silverbacks.
That's a throwback on the lead up to Legacy Night.
Yeah.
No one had Silverbacks being mentioned on any USL podcast this week on their bingo card.
Oh man, that's.
Do we owe Eric all the money after that one? Are there some kind of royalties?
He's going to zoom in and tell us what, you know, about the history of that match.
Can we Venmo that to him?
Yeah. Skype in. Sorry, Zoom wasn't around by the minute. Skype in on his iPad.
Gorilla glue a tablet to a Roomba and then see if we can get him out in the sidelines. So can I share a Neil story real quick? Sorry.
Why not?
Sweet, spicy peanuts and kind of swallowed one the wrong way.
Good job.
Put them in a home.
There we go. So last week I was out at the Open Cup, which is why I wasn't on last week's show, which all said and done overall had a blast. We were openly lobbying USL front office people to schedule a Sacramento Rowdies game for next year because it was just a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun with those guys. I ended up marching into the match with their supporters group because I was in my ticket was in their section. And I'm marching in, and all of a sudden on the sidewalk watching the march, there's Neil Collins and his kids. So I walk over and say hi for a few minutes. And first he asked me, you know, I'll paraphrase, what the heck am I wearing? Because I wasn't going in there trying to show off Rowdy's colors. It wasn't our night or our event. So I've got Sacramento fans have given me a scarf and everything. And I said, well, you know, anybody but Orlando. And he said, that's fair. And I kind of wonder, I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. Neil's just, you know, going to go catch the Open Cup final. And I thought about it afterwards. I guarantee you he's there scouting Sacramento just in case. Like, that's a very Neil thing to do. Also, he just wanted to see if he could make it through the first half without being thrown out again.
question was he thrown out again?
I don't believe so.
Did
they
you
didn't throw
the
us out.
Half?
So,
but did
I
you
didn't
see him in the second?
I didn't see him inside the stadium because we were confined to our section for the game.
Well, it's Orlando, so that makes sense.
The safest way for everybody.
He probably was. I mean, even if he's there, I don't know if Neil can shut off to the point where if he was at a game with a USL opponent that he's not mentally making notes. I know, like, I'm sure there's some work-life balance there, but if he's watching a USL opponent, he's taking mental notes because that's just who he is as a person.
I mean, and he was totally trying to, like, kind of going incognito, like t-shirt and shorts, got the kids with him. I'm like, this is all an act. You're scouting these guys. You're watching them. You know what you're doing.
I mean, to be fair, though, that's kind of a crummy match to scout because the physical disparity between those teams is such that, yeah, like the skill level between those teams is such that you're not going to get an accurate representation of what the Rowdies can do against Sacramento because Orlando's A team is that much better than just everybody. I mean, they got individual guys on the field worth more than the entire roster. I mean, it's not, you're not really going to learn a lot about a team that's bunkering down. You know, it's.
Well, and then I thought, like, he didn't even have to do that. He could have just called Orlando and said, could you send us the footage from your spy at the training from the day before?
Right. Ay, ay, ay.
We had a fun time.
Dan's over here like, it's the Open Cup. Who cares? And we're like, this is entertainment, man.
So the game kicked off and I was like, I don't care. Casey's like, do you want to watch it? And I was like, no, I don't care. And then it was halftime and it was 0-0. And Casey's like, you sure you don't want to watch it? And I was like, no, I don't want to watch it. And then it was getting later and I was like, I'm going to tell you what happens. I'm going to put it on and Orlando is going to score. And I'm going to curse a lot and turn off the television. And sure enough, I sat down, I turned it on, Orlando scored, and I cursed a lot. And then I was like, I'll give it a second. And then they scored a second one, I cursed more, and I turned it off. And I went, see, this is why the Open Cup is stupid, and I went to bed.
Okay, so are you publicly taking the blame for this, then?
Yeah, sure, I'll take the blame.
Okay, good, because I really thought it was my fault, and I haven't told this one outside the stadium yet.
Oh, no.
But got kind of, you know, it was getting late in that second half. It was still 0-0. And I thought, you know, there's only one thing I can do in this situation. It's the thing that works that, you know, anytime you're watching a game, I said, I'm going to go to the bathroom. And I even looked over to the guy next to me, a buddy I had made at the bar, and I said, look, I'm going to go to the bathroom, and while I'm there, you guys are going to score. And I was in the bathroom where I was the only one not wearing a particular shade of a mix of red and blue. And the noise. And they go like running out of the bathroom. And I just stood there like, that's not how it was supposed to happen. So I thought it was me, but I am more than happy to let Dan take that blame.
I'll take the blame. I mean, what's another?
You're going anyway, so.
What's another soccer city in this country hating me? I mean, I have like Birmingham. I'm sure there's a couple others. Let's just throw Sacramento in on that one.
I will direct them your way.
Yeah, please.
I came back and the group I was with, they were just like staring at me.
Good job. Like,
the worst part was they had stopped selling beer at that point too, so there was no way to quickly resolve the situation.
See, it's all your guys' fault. I sat there and watched basically the whole match.
Dan's fault. I don't know if it's on your screen if it shows me pointing at Dan. But
oh yeah,
I'm pointing at Dan.
I'm up top, so like you guys, I'm in the top middle. So you pointing down.
Well, see, on mine it's me and Steven at the top, and Dan, you're underneath me, and this is just getting weird.
Yeah, I was about to say, phrasing, hello? Are you good?
Danger zone.
I never pictured myself as a bottom, but anything's possible. Whatever.
You said it was getting weird tonight. We are not holding back.
Apparently. My God. I hate both of you right now. Oh, yeah. Man.
Haven't been on in like 2 weeks and we still broke him.
Yep. Love it.
Jeez.
Good times.
Oh, God. Do we want to roll through the rest of the league before we do the other stuff?
Well, I'll say this. The Western Conference is a heck of a lot more fun than the Eastern Conference at the moment, considering...
Now that I acknowledge they exist, having seen like half the teams play live this year.
Yeah. So, technically speaking, in the Western Conference, not a single team is eliminated from playoff contention at the moment.
And only one is qualified.
Yeah. Only one has qualified. The entire rest of the Western Division, Western Conference, is in the mix.
Even Orange County, sitting dead last, 13th place in the Western Conference, but now gets to add a little stadium emoji above their crest because they got a one-year extension on their stadium for next year, technically still alive.
Yeah, 6 points. That's it. 6 points between 7th and 13th.
I love it.
That's insane.
Yeah, it just looking at the teams that are in the playoff spots, like Vegas is holding on to the playoff spot, the last playoff spot.
Yeah, Vegas. Think about that.
Vegas, who we just battered 6-1. Vegas, who I sat there yelling, "Here comes the pain," before LaCava scored on the goalie, and then I just was like, "I'm sorry, but I told you that was coming." Vegas. Currently in seventh place.
There are two teams out west with positive goal differentials not in the playoffs.
Yes.
and Phoenix, the grand old Phoenix Rising, are 1 point above last place.
With a negative 11 goal difference.
West is so weird.
9 wins, 14 losses, 5 points out of the playoffs.
It's so, I don't even know. the Western Conference is just the worst thing in the world.
Yeah.
I just.
Vegas is 10 wins and 11 losses, and a literal losing record, minus 11 goal difference, same as Phoenix, last playoff spot.
In honor of the NFL returning, the entire Western Conference is basically like the NFC East of the of USL. Like, it's just nobody's winner. Even like, well, actually, I don't even think it's the NFC East this year. What was it, like AFC South or something?
AFC South. No one in the division has won a game, and two of them played each other.
Yeah, this year it's the AFC South, and that's the USL Western Conference. Just terrible, terrible, and somebody has to be in the playoffs despite the terribleness that all of it is.
Like, you have San Antonio, which would be like the San Diego. You know, last year's LA was in the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah,
and then everybody else in the Western Conference is just Jacksonville.
Good thing Casey couldn't hear that, the diehard Jags fan she is.
12 Jags. You don't have to use the word diehard because any Jacksonville fan is a diehard. They have to be at this point.
That's true. Our resident Indiana listener is yelling at me for talking about the Colts like this. Sorry, Mitch.
I mean, is there really any other way to talk about the Colts?
I mean, I'm going to be nice because their running back was my number one pick. But as long as they keep handing him the ball and throwing the ball, I'm in.
Okay, so for those that don't know, Casey's sister, right, is in the fantasy league. And she picked a team, because she doesn't do fantasy. Like, she's new to the whole thing and everything else. And her family and friends dragged her into this. She, what was it, a team of Logans, right? Was
Jones.
Jones. Yes.
She has Tom Brady, one other guy, and then two other guys from, and she only picked them up because they also went to UF with her, and then the rest of her team all have the last name Jones, and she has no idea what she's doing.
It's literally
the team name, like Keeping Up with the Joneses.
No, it's Hot Dogs and Warm Wieners.
Of course. All right. All right. That's, we all that's dream fair. Of it. We all dream of a team with Joneses. Yeah. Like that's a potential. There you go. I was thinking, you know, hearing her meme her way through that, and I was like, you know, this is the epitome of the meme about, you know, oh really, you know, the NFL, name 10 players, and just like the response is Jones. Okay, fine. Yeah. I made that too easy. I set the bar too low.
She drafted a kicker in like the second or third round, and I was like, what are you doing?
The epitome of chaos. We love it. She got her inspiration from the Bucks and drafting kickers high and thought that was how it worked. It's clear.
It was a mess.
Next up, just draft high kickers. David Morales wants to know, she's going to jump in with a question here, would the Rowdies win the Western Conference?
Yes.
I don't know. Like, San Antonio is so good this year, but are they good because they're good, or are they good because they're playing the other teams in the Western Conference?
It's hard to say. I look, I'm not bold enough to say that they'd win the West.
I would feel much safer picking them for second, at least, though.
I'm confident because I just don't think the Western Conference is real.
I mean, literally, the Rowdies' points right now, 54 points, would put them two ahead of San Diego. San Diego Loyal is your second place Western Conference team.
Yeah.
Which we shouldn't say anything because they beat us, but they have not had, like, I mean, what, they're 16-9. I'm just exaggerating, I guess, here. It just didn't seem like they were that good this year. But, yeah, they're really good. Like, they – who is it? Orange County has the league's leading scorer, like the only person with 20 goals. They're dead last with a -5 goal difference.
I hate
this.
The West.
Like what happens when I try and help kids with geometry homework.
Yeah, I don't even have words. Just vibes.
Yeah, we wouldn't win the West. I'm like, Colorado Springs is good enough that they'd get points against us. I mean, they did this year, but already, you know, San Diego got points against us. San Antonio's a good team. Sacramento's obviously a good team. I mean, they're not consistent. They haven't been consistent during the year, but they're a solid squad. You know, it's hard to say, oh yeah, we'll get first when there's so many opportunities to drop points.
And we still have to go out to, was it El Paso and Monterey Bay this season?
Oh man.
Does one of them come here?
No, we go to Man, you're right. I actually forgot about that. You're right. We do play Monterey Bay, don't we?
Yeah, we have El Paso comes to Al Lang. So we've got Detroit up next, then we go to Detroit, then we host Birmingham, host El Paso, go to Monterey Bay, host Loudoun, host Red Bulls.
Yeah, this is going to be a busy rest of the season at home. I mean, this Detroit match is one of only two games left on the road. The Detroit match this weekend. That's four games at home to finish out the year. Man.
And
Dan's going to miss like all of it.
I would like our chances in a home game. Birmingham's really good, but we've, you know, kind of been the way to them that Charleston has been to us in the past. Monterey Bay, that's a cross-country trip, but it feels like that's a winnable game. And then Loudoun in New York, like that. Well, who knows?
At least we can end against those two.
Right?
If Red Bulls 2 were remotely good, I would say it's the battle for me. But we know who. That's not going to happen.
No, I did see. I was going to send this your way yesterday, but I'm sure you saw it. Gotham got an extra year, I believe, at least another year at Red Bull Arena. So there's one for you.
That's good. Yeah, I'll be there. But we can talk about that in a little bit.
I mean, is there really anything else about the rest of the league to go over? There's just everyone's weird and none of it makes sense.
I've got one question I got for you. So there's six games left. Two of them on the road, Detroit and this weekend, of course, Monterey Bay, like we mentioned, the four games at home. With six games remaining, what do you think our record for those six games will be for this stretch?
4 wins, a draw, and a loss.
All right, let me go.
I would say that would be a six. That would be probably the expectation.
I'm gonna say a draw this weekend in Detroit. Birmingham, it's Legacy Night. It's a 3-5-2, and your little dog too. Whatever. Like we're gonna have some fun. Like that's. We're going to win that one against Birmingham. El Paso, I think we win that one. Monterey Bay feels like it should be a win, but I'm going to call travel, shenanigans and say that ends up as a draw, and then wins over Loudoun in New York. So, what, 2 draws and 4 wins is what I'm going with.
I think Monterey Bay is my loss because it's a short, if I recall, we play, what, Saturday, Wednesday, Saturday, and mm-hmm. have to travel across the country.
Yeah, host El Paso on Wednesday, play them Saturday. Yeah.
And then I think with the travel.
Take off before Loudoun and then New York. Yeah, I could see that happening. I'm going to aspire to a draw for that one. Let's say.
Yeah, I mean, I obviously hope for a win or a draw, but I think that is like a weird trap game due to scheduling and travel and all of that good stuff. And after El Paso, it's going to be midweek. It's going to be rough.
All right. Follow up question then. In which of these six games does Seba get the 61st goal?
Birmingham. He's going to do it on Legacy Night.
Okay. That works the best for narrative, right?
Yeah, and for me, and it's all about me.
I'm going to be the downer that says that it happens against Monterey Bay because I don't think there's any guarantee he's going to be on the pitch for
Steven,
Detroit,
being a,
Birmingham.
Being a downer is saying he doesn't do it at all, which is what I half expected you to say. Honestly, 3/4 expected you to say.
He's going to score one at the very least. He's going to be in the game as a starter and score at least one goal in those final 3 games. That's guaranteed. There's no way. There's no way he doesn't score against a New York Loudoun and Monterey. Like, at some point, he's going to score a goal there.
I'm going to say, if it hasn't happened by the Red Bull game, you will see so much time wasting in that game to get lots of extra time on to make sure he gets it. And then as soon as he scores, they're going to be playing like turbo.
Yeah. Oh, man, I really hope it doesn't come to that.
Yeah, me either. But the fact that we're talking about it means that this is what's going to happen.
Yeah.
This is me telling Sacramento fans, hey, I'm going to the bathroom. You guys are about to score. And then the whole thing falls apart, but it's all Dan's fault anyway.
Yep.
I was gonna say either that or it's the unsub's fault, and it's like, all right, that's it, we're the cursed, we're shutting it down. Oh wait, spoilers. Anyways,
wow. Wow.
Oof.
Big oof energy. Nah, it's absolutely not that. It's fine. Everything's fine. All right.
Wow. To hit that mic button again, only not because I'm about to cough.
Oh, you're welcome, everyone. All right.
Wow.
Did I make you guys blush this time? Did I? Yeah, did I do the Uno reverse card?
Yeah, you did.
Cool. This is what
draw
it feels
4.
Like. This is what it feels like. Okay. Alrighty then.
Don't we have a Taco Bus ad to read?
Yeah, that's exactly. I'm gonna be honest. This whole time, I'm trying to think of like, man, how do I want to do this nice, like, professional level segue into a Taco Bus ad? And I'm just like,
there it is.
I think that's the way to do it. Yeah. You know, not disappointing anybody at any time, I'm sure, is, of course, our friends at Taco Bus. Proudly delivering a healthy, fresh, and authentic Mexican taste experience to our Florida fans. Just one bite of a burrito, tostado, or quesadilla, and your taste buds will be singing traditional Mexican folk songs. Visit us today at one of our 11 locations, and remember to keep it chido.
I really wish there was a Taco Bus in Orlando around the stadium, because we went out after the game. Well, first we ended up at a karaoke bar that Mike Janofsky ended up in with us also. And then we went off in search of food, and someone pulled up, like, you know, local spots on their phone. And here's this taco place. It's open till 3 a.m. All right, let's go there. Apparently, there's a different time zone on different parts of Orlando, because where our watch is set 11:30, that place must have thought it was 3 a.m. because they were closing up shop.
Fun times.
All right. Is it time?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, I'm shutting my mic off for this. You guys have fun.
Oh, man.
Okay, well.
All right, Dan, you're going to start with your stuff.
Okay, so as has been announced on the Twitter machine last week and pretty much almost every day as I'm in my feels, it is officially official. We are moving out of state. I think I am out of here no later than Halloween. Casey leaves in about 2 weeks. So the Legacy Night, the September 23rd game, will be our last game in person and my last pregame show. So it's gonna be an emotional one for us. It's weird. I don't know. I know I left not that long ago to run a campaign and everything, but there was always like, even if I win, I will be able to still go to Rowdy's games because I am not moving out of state. It's still the same drive. And legislative session was not during the season or at the very beginning of the season. But now there's not even really going to be a possibility of games unless we're down here on vacation, and I don't know how often that'll be. So, it's weird.
How far is it to Hartford? Because that's going to be the closest. Well, when Queensboro starts up, I guess, but I don't know, wherever you're going to be might just be as far from Queensboro as Hartford is.
If Queensboro even happens, let's be real. but yeah, I mean, if and when the Rowdies are around and I can get to them, I will be there, like Hartford or Queensboro. But it's not Al Lang. It's not the group of people here, like you guys and everybody else at the stadium, you know, like I've been trying to find words for it, about like, you watch Sunderland Till I Die, and you watch maybe like Welcome to Wrexham, and they talk to people around the community about how like this club means, you know, everything to them. It's like their church and it's their community and everything. And like, it's easy if you're not a soccer fan or whatever to dismiss that stuff. But like, knowing I'm moving away and leaving this community and this part, it's like leaving family. You don't realize how much the sport and the fans and everybody means to you until like you're staring down the barrel of leaving. And next Friday is going to be really hard doing my last pregame show in person with you guys. And I'm going to be drinking a lot after that game, because it's going to be an emotional one. So I don't like feelings. And if my therapist ever hears this, I'm going to drink my feelings away, and there's nothing you can do about it.
You're going to make me do this next part, aren't you?
I can keep going if you want. I can do it. I'm already there.
You talk about being difficult to find words, and I kind of realized driving home tonight from back to school night, the first time we've had in-person one in 2 years, realizing that while we had put some time and thought and discussion into this next piece, I hadn't really had thought about the actual talking about it part. So I'm just making this up as we go. So we have known for some time that you were going to be leaving at some point in the not too distant future. Unfortunately, wish it was more distant, but happy for you guys still. And we got together and we had some discussions. And oh God, this is hard. it's bittersweet, but we had made the decision as a group, all three of us, that we're going to when this season is over, so are we. We're going to hang it up. We're still going to be around. At least Steven and I are. We're
not. Yeah, speak for yourself.
Not even. But we. And you know, there are some people that have known about this, but and I kind of had this conversation with someone the last home game that I was at. Dan, when you and I started doing this 8 years ago, like we were literally it. Like the team followed us the second we followed them because there was no one covering them. And in that time, we've gone from we don't reference local blogs to let's interview the guys who do this podcast and now do a pregame show on like a local news station.
Yep.
And you know, our whole goal was to bring more eyes, more attention, more coverage, more discussion, all this kind of stuff, to give people an outlet to do things and progress. And I'm really open about the fact that I am terrible at accepting like compliments and praise, and I deflect the hell out of everything and self-deprecate. But I honestly don't have an issue saying that like what we set out to do, we have accomplished and more. I feel like hell, we gave Jake a place to write stuff and got him hired by the team, which ended up getting us the pregame show. And you know, we could continue, but it's not the same thing without all of us. And we've put the time and energy and effort and money into the years, and other people have repaid that by supporting us, by listening to us, by spreading us around. And we don't want to half-ass it for them. And you know, Dan, your life situation is drastically changing. Mine has changed in ways I'm still coming to grips with. But time-wise, just a lot of the things going on that I got to be able to do, I'm not always available on certain nights now. Rather than not do it the way we were used to, we decided I'm going to at least call it an extended hiatus. I'm never saying never, but we'll see. It's time.
So yeah, it's.
Oh damn it! I thought Steven wasn't going to talk.
Well, I mean, you know, I came on when Dan left for you know his run, his election run, because Matt, you needed a co-host. Like you wanted to do the podcast, you wanted to keep it going, and
yeah,
you know, and it was funny though because you know at the time like people's lives were changing in other ways where we weren't even sure if like that was even really the future of the podcast at the time a couple years ago when I came on, and so it was just kind of. You know, Dan obviously came back, and then Matt, you left for a bit. You went on a slight hiatus, and so it's like we've kind of revolved around some of the hosting situations. You know, we're not saying that like everything forever and ever is going to be shut down type of deal. Like, it's not necessarily that per se. It's just that after this season is up, the podcast as it is, the Unused Substitutes show, it won't be the same. Like, what you see right now is not what you're going to see in 2023. That's the message at this point. It's just, yeah. It's something all of us have thought about. We've been discussing it. Like you said, like some of you that are listening to the show, you know, we've talked to you guys privately in some cases to let you know that stuff was amiss. Like there was some things afoot about the future. But yeah, it's we're at a point right now. Like, you guys have been at this for 8 years. Like, we're kind of at a point that we kind of feel like it's a good time to kind of turn it back a little bit.
Yeah, Dan and I had, like, what, for the last probably 2 or 3 years, we're like, we got to get to 10. We got to make it to 10. We got to get to 10.
Yeah.
But it's just not meant to be. And honestly, that day that we got together and kind of talked about it, I went through and I started looking at numbers. And, okay, we're not going to get to 10. But we're going to, by the time this is done, we will have cranked out over 350 episodes. And, like, three of them are really good.
Yeah, 10
don't
years
ask me what three. I don't know. But there's three in there somewhere.
10 was the goal.
Yeah.
And then Yoko Ono behind me here came in and broke up the Beatles. But
no! Casey, you are number one. We agree.
But really, I mean, the goal was to provide, like you said, a community, a place, and coverage. And now Kenny Morales is there doing, you know, such good work. The Times has been covering. There RBLR with James and Eureka and Carlos, they exist as well. I was talking to Jake a bit last night before we watched Clerks 3 and he was just like, you know, just the whole goal is to pretty much leave things better than you found it. And I think it's safe to say when it comes, like, and this might sound like, you know, self-aggrandizing or whatever, but I think we can take a moment to give this show and this brand a little bit of credit for helping build some community and do some work around the rowdies here. I think we deserve a little bit of credit there. Not much, but a little bit. But
Dan's saying buy his ears after the next home game. That's what Dan's saying.
beers for tears next home game is really what it's going to be. But it's crazy. Like, I just, we had such good times, and some of the seasons weren't so great. Some of the moments weren't so great, but, like, I don't know, man. I wouldn't trade these 8 years for anything. And you guys, it's been a blast with doing, especially and doing this pregame show with you guys. It's just, I can't go anymore. I can't do this. Too many feelings, too many emotions.
I like to think that I'm a pretty good dad, and in my point of view, that's the single most important thing I can do. I'm very confident that I'm a pretty good teacher. I ran into too many of my students from like in the last 4 or 5 days and heard some of the things they said. To not believe that about myself, even as much as I try not to. Outside of those two things, this is probably the thing that I'm most proud of doing and having done right. But yeah, and like, you know, Steven and I are going to be around. We're not. It's not like we're, you know, not having season tickets. We're going to be active. We're still going to be involved. We're going to be doing other things, however. And like I said, like, we decided, like, we as a group weren't going to continue. And if it wasn't going to be the three of us, it wasn't going to be the Unused Substitutes, because that's what this is.
Even though we never added a third person to the logo, but you know,
I mean, that's really why we're doing this. I tried and I just couldn't really make it work. And, you know, it's just easier to shut this thing down. No, I'm only partially kidding there. I could very easily just recreate something in there. It's fine. I made a damn social distance version of the logo. I could fit a random third person in there. But yeah, and I, you know, also part of it too, I don't know if you guys feel the same way, because I haven't really talked about this part with you, but you know, I've had people come to me and they're like, oh, you guys should do something like this, and you guys should do something like that. Like, you guys out there have like great ideas. Don't just feed them to, like, go do something yourself. There is room for all kinds of stuff out there, whether it's websites or, you know, another podcast. Hell, some of these teams that we've followed over the years and kept track of, like, there's like 6 or 7 podcasts. Like, Cincinnati can have a whole attendance talk just on the number of podcasts they have by themselves. Like, it's not just like, oh, let's give them the ideas because they're the ones who've been doing it. Like, go do your own stuff. Like, we would love to see that take off. It's never been about like consolidating all the audience with us. It's about, you know, hopefully making some people laugh convincing others maybe that here's something I could do. Like, it can be done. I'm happy to help people out. Give me a call, send me an email. If you want to start something up, let me know. Be glad to do that for you. Yeah. That's a little rough one to do right there.
Yeah. Yeah. And
well, and the other, well, and let's get it going back on a high note now. Now, I was hoping this was going to be something we could, you know, kind of do as a like total farewell once the season ended, but no, Dan, you have to go and leave like at the end of October. We are going to do, we don't know when just yet. We're pretty sure it's going to be Corrigan's. There will be a live show with all three of us before this all ends.
Yeah, there's got to be a good...
Mostly because after Dan leaves, there's still like, you know, 2 or 3 more games and playoffs, so yeah. We have to do something. But there will be a farewell show, and it won't be the very last episode, but it will be a farewell. Maybe Steve and I will just do another live one, like cap off the season, cap off 8 years of this. So there'll be at least one, possibly two.
And I'll be able to call in, probably.
Yeah, no, we're going to change the number. We're
oh, yeah. Okay, that's fine. That's fine. For the last one, I can probably call in. It's chaos because I'm packing, selling, moving.
Right.
It's just, I need to be able to be doing this. I don't know what Casey's doing, but she took all of the books off the shelf and now is putting them back on, even though we have to pack them all. So I think she's just doing organizing of some sort.
Right.
Yeah. So it will not be a weekly podcast after this year. Like I said, Matt and I are still around. So it who knows what it looks like. Maybe, you know, I mean, we're still going to be around. It's just not going to be what it is and what it has been for the last 8 years. So, yeah. The world turns, life changes, time moves on, you know.
I don't like it.
So, predictions for Detroit.
There you go. All right.
This only ends in sadness. Everything only ends in sadness.
Right. Real quick, Dan. Clerks 3, thumbs up, thumbs down. I'm going tomorrow. Okay. Hoping so. That franchise has a soft spot in my heart.
Of course it does.
Really, for Detroit, I'm going to say a 2-1 Rowdies win.
I'm going 1-1 in this match. I don't know. The Rowdies need to do more to convince me that they can handle and bounce back from a bad game like this, like the Charleston match. And I don't know. We got to be able to prove to ourselves that other teams haven't figured us out.
You too.
Jeez, you like goals.
Not tutu as in that's what I'm going to wear on the pregame show, but tutu.
Bold prediction. That's a legitimately bold prediction, considering that these teams typically are good defensively. It's interesting. That'll be fun.
I hope it's good. I hope it's entertaining. But anyway, after that is Legacy Night, and it'll be fun.
Hell yes. I'm not going to really bring my dog for this one, unfortunately, but mostly because I know I'm going to be hanging out afterwards and drinking, and I don't know what the policy on Corrigan's for car-sick dogs. So I'm just going to leave her at home this time. But next time there's Hoops and Hounds or whatever they're calling it, we can discuss this.
We got our I got the 4-1 to the effing lads text. So I think Mitch is gonna call. Mitch is gonna be right in Detroit. 4-1, the Rowdies.
By the way, Birmingham and Pittsburgh level at 1.
Good.
It's gonna be like the last line of the last show. By the way.
Yeah. Right.
Tulsa and Monterey Bay. All right, well, let's wrap this up, not just because all of us are out of words, but also I drove straight home from back to school night and really have to use the bathroom and make some dinner.
All right, everybody. Well, thank you, as always, to Wolfface for the great introduction music that we get to use.
I get to see them on Saturday.
I know. They're in town. They're getting a real good show. It's going to be fun. We also thank Radio St. Pete for providing a platform for doing an online broadcast live every Wednesday for the last, almost 8 years now. At least during the seasons, it's every week. Thank you to Corrigan's and Shamrock. I mean, Corrigan's, of course, we're going to be hopefully at before the end of the year one more time. Shamrock, Matt, you and I could probably do something at Shamrock even after the season if that's what it takes.
I mean, it's only fair. If we're going to do one at Corrigan's, I think we owe one to Shamrock.
Been a while since I've been down there.
Okay. So we'll do a postseason one there too.
All right. Well, still, if you are listening to the show, please share us with Rowdy's friends. I mean, we've still got a playoff run that we're still going to be covering. So,
Oh yeah.
Share us with your friends, subscribe so that way you don't miss the episodes at least till the end of this season. Because you definitely don't want to miss any kind of Rowdy's news that might come up as we go into the playoff season here. Every little bit of publicity or whatever you want to call it that you can help with goes a long way. We do appreciate that very much. If you want to take that support a step further, Patreon does help. I mean, obviously there's still subscription costs and everything else for doing the show and things like that. So those little things do help. And they go a long way. If you want to show us some love going out the rest of this season, that would be a great way to do it. And as always, of course, Taco Bus, we appreciate their support this year as being an official sponsor of the show and the podcast. Thank you to them. Well, guys, we finally have made it official of sorts.
Now I can continue to cry in public and, answer them honestly.
Yeah.
Wait, did we just do the thing where, is this the mutually agreeing to part ways? did we just go to Sbarro's at the mall food court and break up like a couple of eighth graders?
Well, you guys can, leave me at the baggage claim.
Oh! Nice. Nice. Only after we leave you the bill for our whiskey.
Oh, man.
Oh, gosh. All right. Well, Rowdies are on the road this weekend, so if we are at a watch party, have a good weekend. Otherwise, we're going to end up seeing you here online live on another podcast next week, leading into the Friday night match. Friday night match for the next home match here, Roughs and Rowdies or whatever they're calling it. I don't even know. Is that the title? Roughs and Rowdies? I don't even remember.
Issa had Hoops and Hounds, which is much better. Yeah. But,
I had that one. I had, what was it, the 3-5-2 and your little dog too. And then I was trying to think if there was just something dog related that rhymed with pitch. Oh, never mind.
And we're done. No.
Good job. Well done. All right. Well, we will see you next week here on Radio St. Pete Online. With that, we're signing off for the night. And as always, go Rowdies.
Heck yes.
Deuces.